Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you, everybody. Nice to have you with us. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. Indeed, it's a pleasure to have you with us. You know, we talk to so many unusual people, not unusual people, but people from different categories and professions. But today is a first for me. I'm going to be talking to another talk show host. I don't think I've ever interviewed another talk show host on these shows. So this should be fun. This is especially going to be great for you if you live in Mississippi. I'm sure you may know the name Gerard Gibbert. He hosts Middays with Gerard on Supertalk Mississippi. It's a statewide radio talk show where Mississippians can tune in every day from 10 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon, and they'll hear several fascinating interviews from people from all walks of life. A lot of politicians. He does get into politics a good bit. But it's been a wildly successful show for him, and he's been very, very successful at it because he is a dynamic, skilled conversationalist, and he provides a lot of his own expert commentary and insights on the shows. So he says it's been really good for him, and it's been good for the people in Mississippi. And he's been doing this for the last 3 years, and again, it's in the mornings in Mississippi from 10 to 1. He's an amazing guy, and I want to bring him on without a lot of further ado to find out more about what he does and his show. And Gerard, it's a pleasure to have you with us. How are you?
Hey, Doug, doing great. Thanks for having me.
Listen, it's great to have you. I'm intrigued to know what you think makes your show utterly so successful, other than the fact that you're a great, great host. How's it gone for you? How long have you been doing this now?
Well, I appreciate the kind words. I've been doing this on a full-time basis since 2021. So just a little more than 3 years, 2021 in the January time frame is when the show kicked off. And I must tell you that I was doing it on somewhat of a part-time basis for about a year prior to that, and that's because the individual who had the spot, who had that time slot on the statewide network for many years, unfortunately suddenly contracted illness and then ultimately passed away in the summer of 2021. So I was filling in along with a couple other individuals, asked to do so by the owners of the statewide network. I had served as a guest on numerous occasions on the two statewide shows on this network, this including the one that I'm currently hosting with the prior host for so long. And so they just said, you know, you always seem to be an enjoyable guest and seem to know your way around the business. Why don't you try filling in? And I did, and one thing led to another. And so now I host the show on a full-time basis. I think that one thing that's distinctive about me serving in this role as a talk show host is that I come from a business background. And I think I bring sort of that business and entrepreneurial perspective to the show, to the listeners, and we also stream the show via video as well. It's available on full-size browser and of course, mobile app, and over the air on a network of radio stations that covers essentially the entire state of Mississippi. But I think just bringing that business perspective really differentiates it from a more traditional talk show host and the background they may have.
Well, you just answered a question I was going to ask you. As you pointed out, you were a guest on the show many times. And I was going to ask you, why were you guesting on, not guesting the show, but brought on as a guest, you know, to be part of the show? You come from a business aspect. Tell me about that aspect of business. What kind of business, you know, were you in?
Yeah, so I co-founded an IT company back in 1986 in the early days of the personal computer. It was about 5 years old, the personal computer was. And we started out as a micro-age in central Mississippi, where I presently reside and have virtually my entire life. And that business just grew by leaps and bounds, kind of consistent with the industry. We became heavily involved in enterprise networking and cloud services, actually built one of the first commercial data centers in the country, certainly in the state it was, and that was in 2000, long before Microsoft, Google, and Amazon were even thinking about being in the data center business. We actually built a commercial data center and rode sort of the cloud services revolution as well as the traditional premise-based type infrastructure. Went to Wall Street and raised some money, merged and acquired, and consolidated some other companies and grew the business quite handsomely, not only in terms of top-line revenue and bottom-line profitability, but we scaled our staff as well, had people in about 10 states. Ultimately sold the company in 2019. January 2019, some 5 years ago, and I stayed on, was asked to stay on for 5 or 6 months to kind of help the company with their acquisition strategy because I had a fair amount of experience in that. But they had decided to kind of put a pause on that and no longer needed my services, and so I guess I was retired at that time, and then this opportunity opened up to serve as a talk show host. How I got involved in that actually goes back to 2008, which is kind of unusual. 2008.
Tell me about it.
That's when I got interested in healthcare policy and politics in general because I happened to see an advertisement during the presidential campaign, that was being run by then candidate Barack Obama, and he talked about his plans for health care reform, which included what is known as the employer shared responsibility. And I started paying attention to that and started digging into that and firing questions at my attorney, my labor lawyer, as a matter of fact, my employment lawyer, and he couldn't answer those questions and didn't know, and there was really no definitive information. Well, that made me nervous. I said, well, this looks to me like, based on what I can tell, this is going to cost me a lot of money, what he plans, and I'm trying to make business decisions today. I need this information. And he said, man, I'm sorry, Gerard. There's just no more information. And a little bit of frustration, not at my attorney, because they were doing the best they can to tell the truth. There just wasn't any. But at that point, I said, you know what? I better start paying attention to this politics stuff. I always felt like they're there, I'm here, leave me alone, I'll leave you alone, everything's good. And then I realized, you know, they're really trying to make some changes from a law and a legal perspective, that regulatory perspective, that would impact my operation quite a bit. I better pay attention to this. Well, I got asked to do a panel discussion, which is kind of crazy, or be part of a panel with some healthcare and insurance professionals at the law school at the University of Mississippi, talking about health care reform before the thing even passed. We're talking about
really?
In 2009. Yeah. And I got that assignment by the lawyer that I had posed those questions to. Their firm was sponsoring it. And I said, why me? I'm an IT guy. And he says, well, it seems to me like you've learned more about this than anybody else around here. And I guess you could say that sort of sparked my interest in politics. And after that got learned by the producers and the content directors at this radio network that said, hey, Mr. Gilbert, would you like to come on and talk about healthcare on one of our statewide radio shows? And then, Doug, from then it took a life of its own, and I was summoned rather regularly just to talk about business, how public policy affects business and technology, because I worked in the technology industry, and also additionally once the law passed, I offered my understanding, I guess, and my perspective on what that was going to mean to employers. And I then found myself doing presentations to CPA groups and HR groups, and served as a panelist with the Cato Institute, presenting to the Federalist Society in Mississippi, did split-screen debates, actually appeared on public radio and public television here in Mississippi, all talking about health care policy and health care reform. And that's how, I guess you could say, I got involved in radio.
Wow. That's a great story. Obviously, you know, you're obviously a very intelligent guy. What's your background? Tell me a little bit about, you know, your education. Where do you come from?
Yeah, I graduated from Ole Miss, the University of Mississippi, with a degree in accounting and a minor in economics. And I didn't want to do traditional accounting work when I graduated from college. Typically, when you earn an accounting degree, I mean, usually the natural path is to seek employment at one of the big accounting firms. There were eight at the time. There are only four now after some consolidation. And you just worked a career as a certified public accountant. But I got a little taste of computers and technology and software with the one little required course as part of the accounting curriculum, the accounting major, and I enjoyed that. And I thought, you know, I think I would prefer to do this. Well, it turns out that the firm now known as Accenture, they're the world's largest digital services consulting firm. At the time, they were part of Arthur Andersen and Company, one of the big accounting firms. They had a division that specialized, that focused on information technology, and they were hiring people right out of college to do that kind of work from a variety of majors and backgrounds. You didn't have to have an accounting degree necessarily. In fact, I worked with music majors and physics majors and engineers, just all had really, really smart people that had great aptitude for this software and systems type work. And that's how I got interested in technology, and then saw this microcomputer about to transform the world. And this was long before the internet or email or any of that sort of stuff or smartphones. But you could tell this was going to change things. And so off I went with a business plan with an entrepreneurial itch to try to find some capital. I needed $189,000 is what I figured in my business plan to start a company. But I was 27 and didn't have any security. I didn't have any collateral. That's the one thing I didn't really think about when I went to the local banks with my business plan. And I got booted to the curb rather summarily, told that, you know, you don't have any collateral. We're not loaning you this $189,000. And I got a little frustrated with that after about 14 months of making that pitch over and over again. And then finally my sweet wife came to me one night. She had been keeping her parents, my in-laws, abreast of my progress or lack of progress. And she came to me one night. She said, you know, my parents have some acreage down in South Mississippi, just north of the Gulf Coast where she's from, that it was their family savings, honestly. They were both a very modest means, but understood that the value of real estate, made an investment when they were younger, when they got married, and it had been in their family. They'd been paying on it for a long time. And she said, they're willing to deed that or transfer that deed to you to secure this loan. Would that work for you? And I foolishly said, well, of course that would work. Of course, when you're 27, you think you know everything. You're invincible. You're infallible. So, you know, back to the local banks, I went with that deed in hand, and, of course, they were able to then make that small loan to get our business started, and I guess you could say the rest is history.
Well, that's great. That's really great. I love stories like that. So you're lucky. So your business obviously did very well. You were very smart to get into that aspect of the business. Let me ask you a little bit about the radio business. I gather you never thought about doing anything like this that you're doing right now. Am I right?
Never saw that in my future. No, you're absolutely right. I really didn't. I do enjoy it immensely.
Well, let me ask you what you find interesting about doing talk shows. And describe your shows. By the way, how would you give a description of the topics you talk about, the people that you bring on in general? What would your description of the show be?
Yeah, the shows, as you indicated, are 3 hours each day, 10 to 1. Typically, there are 2 to 3 guests on each show. There are 12 segments, 4 per hour of each show. There is a content director that schedules all the guests, does collaborate somewhat with the two statewide hosts in doing that. But for the most part, they do all the scheduling, and those guests really range from our federal elected officials, statewide elected officials, a lot of politics, members of our legislature, policy advocates, for example, and also just a lot of folks that are involved in human interest and human interest stories, if you will, and then and just other notable figures in our state. I've interviewed, for example, Miss Mississippi numerous times. I've interviewed the head of the Department of Corrections and heads of other state agencies, the Mississippi Emergency Management Association, the head of the Red Cross in the state of Mississippi, and other charitable organizations. Always enjoy interviewing those. One of the most interesting interviews I recall that actually got me a little emotional was on the topic of human trafficking. And there are agencies in our state that work with victims of human trafficking. I think you'd find those in virtually every state. And one of these individuals had decided to come forward and was willing to talk about their experience, had been trafficked herself, and was just talking about how she was able to get out of that terrible situation and turn her life around, and was giving a lot of the credit to those that in these two groups that had helped her achieve that, and she was very close to them. And her story was just so inspiring and so emotional, and honestly, it made me a little emotional. But that's one I'll always remember. But that's just an example of sort of the wide range of guests we have on the show.
So it's a little bit of everything. You know, if you have state executives and politicians, a lot of these shows require a good bit of study and preparation. Do you have a team of people who help you with that? I mean, obviously you can't just walk in and talk to, you know, lieutenant governor of the state or something without some idea of where you're going to go with your discussion. Am I right? How about that?
Well, you're absolutely right. It does require a lot of preparation, a lot of analysis and study, and certainly keeping up with what's going on from a current event perspective, both in our legislature and the federal government as well, when you're talking about interviewing elected officials. So, yes, that's absolutely true. No, I do not have a team. I'm a team of one. I'm it.
You're it.
And that's it, yeah. And that's just, you know, that's just by design. That's the way the program works. I make it my business to keep up just because I have a deep interest in public policy. So I keep up with measures flowing through our legislature and all the activities going on there. And the same is true at the federal level. So, for example, today I interviewed the congressman who represents Mississippi's a third district, which happens to be my district. He's been on many times, Congressman Michael Guest. He's chair of the House Ethics Committee. And today we talked about the State of the Union address, for example, this past Thursday. We sort of broke that down from his perspective. We talked about the spending bills, which the president signed over the weekend for funding half of the discretionary component of government. We got another half that's scheduled to be signed by the 22nd of this month. So we delved into a lot of those policies as well. And again, with the president just delivering his State of the Union address, there was plenty to talk about. And that's something else, I guess I should say, Doug. A lot of people, especially if they're not part of the same party, likely not to tune in to a presidential State of the Union address. I do that so I can study and understand and be informed, and then I'll read, you know, a ton of articles and papers and even White House press releases all within about 24 hours, which is what I did after the State of the Union address. So my show on Friday was almost dedicated to just deep analysis of what the president said on that Thursday night, and then we continued that as well today, and we will tomorrow. On tomorrow's show, he also did, the president released his proposed budget for 2025, and so I really like to talk about, coming from business, economic policy with a focus on tax policy, having the accounting background. I do have a fairly deep understanding of tax and tax policy, and so that of course is a great part of the president's proposed budget. There's a lot of focus on tax policy, so I broke all that down today.
Well, good for you. Let me ask you, do you take telephone calls from listeners on your show, or is basically just the people you're talking to?
Yeah, that's a great question. We actually replaced the old sort of phone-in, if you will, live telephone calls with a text line. and that's active during the entire show. And there, it's probably safe to say there are a few hundred sort of regular texters. There are a whole lot more people that are tuned in and listening that just don't bother to text, but it's pretty active, and there, depending on the subject matter, it'll really stimulate a lot of text coming in. I try to read most of them, and often if I don't get to them on the air, I'll stay after the show and try to respond to most, if not all, of those texts to at least get them some sort of interaction with me. Sometimes they're questions, sometimes they're comments, sometimes they're not appropriate for reading on the air, which is not a surprise because people get pretty fired up about stuff, and that's perfectly fine. But, yeah, I can tell you, we have a lot of really smart people here in the state of Mississippi, especially those that listen to my show. They pay a great deal of attention to politics and public policy. They know our legislature, our statewide leaders, our congressional delegation, and they've got very strong opinions about that.
It sounds like you do a really admirable broadcast that really gives people a good insight as to what's going on, especially in Mississippi and also probably in Washington as well. Do you think you get enough feedback to know what your listeners are thinking and how they're responding to your conversations? Do you get that in the text messages that you get back from them?
I do, and in addition to the text messages, I try to stay pretty active. I mean, now that I don't have this business responsibility, I stay active in the political world in particular and really socially as well, and so I attend a great number of events across the state. And also, I should point out, we also broadcast remotely. I think last year I did 39 different remotes at all corners of the state, and they range from community college graduation all the way down to the Mississippi Gulf Coast for an event called Cruising the Coast. It's the largest automobile show in the country, for example. And I'm actually outside facing Highway 90, which parallels the Gulf Coast beaches there. And so when I'm out and about and doing these remotes or at these events, it is amazing to me how many people – listen or watch and will approach me and tell me they know who I am and start talking to me and provide feedback about the show. And I fortunately have never heard any sort of negative feedback. I'm sure there are people out there that feel that way. They've just never said anything to me. But I'm always blown away with just how many people there are. You can't tell that necessarily sitting behind that mic in a studio and even on that text line. But when I get out in public, I get stopped sometimes just in the grocery store or in a restaurant, and people will recognize me, which tells me they've either seen my photo, associated with the show, or perhaps they've watched it. And I Sunday, I was in the local grocery store, the Kroger, and somebody I hadn't seen whose son played baseball with my son 15, 20 years ago, he said, "I just want you to know I listen to your show every day. I really love it. I agree with 99% of what you say." So,
that's great.
It's good. It's good. It's good to get positive feedback like that and to feel like you're making a difference. I do spend a fair amount of time at our state capitol during the session, which is active right now. It got started in early January, and it will continue for about another month. And I've interviewed a good number of members of both houses and, of course, our state-level leaders, and I know them as a result of that. And so I spent a lot of time in the Capitol just interacting with them. I've actually had some of them tell me, "I learn more from you about what's going on in this building than I do while I'm in the building."
That's a great compliment. That's really great. That's good. You're talking to the right people then. Are you very politically do people know your politics, or do you try and hide that or not? I mean, do they know if you're a Republican or a Democrat, or does it not matter, do you think?
Yeah, they absolutely know that I am a Republican. Mississippi is a fairly deep red state. I like to describe myself as a common sense conservative, and I try my dead level best to provide objective analysis, and that means sometimes I will be critical of even the Republicans and their policy positions or individuals. I stay away from any sort of personal insults and just ad hominem assailment, but I really try to focus on public policy objectively. This is what I think about this policy, why it's good, why it's bad, from both sides. And again, stay away from the personal aspect and the emotional aspect. I'll let those running for office handle that. That's just not my style. I don't have any interest in that.
You know, what else is interesting is that you're a statewide show. I haven't run into that very often. It seems to me that, you know, you're either on a radio station that covers a whole state or, you know, you're on a national broadcast. So you are getting feedback from people in all across the states then. And how does that help you as a talk show host, having that kind of a picture of what's going on in the state from your audience? I would think that would help a lot.
It certainly does, and it is my understanding. I haven't researched all 50 states, but it is my understanding that this may be the only state where there is a statewide network, if you will, where there's a series of stations throughout the state that basically broadcast. And there are two statewide talk shows. There's also a fantastic sports show that's mostly statewide. It's in the airs in the afternoon. There's two statewide talk shows, a 6 to 9, a host that's before me. And then the 9 to 10 slot is local, and then the 10 to 1 is statewide. It is really good, Doug, to get that perspective. Mississippi is a small state from a population perspective, just under 3 million people. But we have a very diverse culture. The Gulf Coast of Mississippi is not too similar, for example, to the northeast corner, the sort of the Appalachian foothills corner of the state of Mississippi. And it's beautiful from all points in between as well. We talk about from the coast to the capital. And the capital where I am is right in the center of the state. And then we have the Mississippi Delta to our west and northwest, and then we have the Pine Belt between here and the coast. But, yeah, there's some distinctions between the cultures, but we're all, you know, a part of the same state. We're all governed by the same legislature, have the same statewide leaders, and you do get different needs, different perspectives, different opinions and views as a result of that. And it is very useful to have sort of that variety and range of inputs, which guides my analysis. My show is an opinion show. You know, there's no trying to hide that. That's what they tell me. You got to have an opinion. It's one of the first things the management of the network told me. Owners of the network said, "Gerard, you got to have an opinion. That's what people tune in for. They want to hear your opinion."
That's interesting. That's really, you got to have an opinion. You know, there was a time, and I was doing talk radio years ago, and we couldn't have an opinion. We wanted people to phone in and give us their opinions, but we didn't express our opinions. That was kind of different.
Interesting.
Listen, we're going through the half hour. It's so fast. I want to thank you for taking the time. You're going to be back again next week for another session here with us. I think that's just great, and I want to make sure people know that you're on. It's Super Talk Mississippi. That's the show, right? Middays with Gerard on Super Talk Mississippi. Do they know how to find it?
Yep.
What's the best way to find it?
Go to supertalk.fm is the website, and you'll see a listing of all the stations and their off-air footprint. You can also get it on the Supertalk Mississippi app, and it's also available on the browser as well, both audio and the video stream of the show.
Okay. Gerard, thank you for taking the time to talk with us. We look forward to having you back as a guest with us next week, same time, okay? Take care, my friend.
Thanks for having
me,
Doug.
Have you here.
Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. All right, everybody.
Bye-bye.
That's a first for us. Another talk show host as our guest. Very interesting indeed. Thanks.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
That we do. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time, everybody. Till then, take care. Bye for now.